adore you, Lord, and I worship you. I give thanks to you, sing praise to you for everything. Oh, for everything you've done for me, for
that hath breath, praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. For God is great, oh, he's greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord.
Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. To be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. For God is great, oh, he's greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Lord, let everything praise the Lord. For God is great, oh, he's greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh, let everything praise the Lord. For God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. For God is great,
oh, he's greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Everything that I've read, praise the Lord. Let everything.
the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you brethren would go back there and lay hands on Sister Rice and Sister Wilkins. Let's all pray for them. They've been, both of them, really had a struggle with their health lately. Let's ask God to touch them and help them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, dear Jesus, touch our sisters today, Lord. Oh God, help them today, Lord. Lift them up, oh God. Help them, oh God. Touch their health, Lord. Sister Rice's blood pressure, her heart condition, Lord. Sister Wilkins's allergies and bronchial problems. God, her lungs, touch her today. Help her, oh God. Oh, Lamb of God, help them today, Lord. Touch Brother Crow, Lord. Help him, oh God. Touch his heart today. Sister Elsie, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Feels good in here today. Brother, let's see. Sister Elsie's back with us today. First service back after her heart attack. And then we're surprised, Sister Terry Durham and Sister Jill Ayers just come sneaking in here on us this morning. And they, by the way, they sing, both of them. They even sing together a song, I think. Well, maybe y'all would sing for us when we take up the offering. But I really appreciate them being here. Yes. I don't have any favorite kin folks, but if I had one, it would be Jill. She's my first cousin once removed. Yeah, do y'all understand that? See, all of your first cousins, all your first cousins' kids are still your first cousins. That's still in the first generation. They're just once removed from the first generation. But then, like, see, her mother and I are first cousins. So she's my first cousin once removed. But now my son, Michael, is a second generation, and she is too. They're second cousins. See, you might think we're second cousins, but no, she's my first cousin, just once removed. But her and Michael are second cousins, and then Michael's kids are her second cousins once removed. But if she was to have children, they'd be third cousins. That's how that works. So I know, first time I heard that, I thought, what kind of nut is this telling this? But it made sense after I began to hear it. But anyway, she kind of seems more like a little sister or something than she does a first cousin once removed. Anyway, we love her and we're glad she's here. And then Sister Terry, I have a whole array of emotions for her. I mean, from one end of the spectrum to the other. You know, she's been working for Sister Smith and I for several years. She's kind of almost like a daughter to us in some ways. She fights with me like I'm her daddy sometimes. She gets mad at me just like if she would a dad or a big brother or something like that. Sometimes she could kill me, and I've come close to wanting to kill her a few times. But anyway, I want y'all all to know that it'd have been impossible for Sister Smith and I to have moved to Little Rock if it wasn't for Sister Terry. She's been running that kennel up there by herself, really. I mean, Sister Gail's helped her, and of course now Sister Ruth's helping her, but she's a jewel. She's in the rough a little still, but she's still a jewel. No, there's sparkling places on her, but then she's got a... Anyway, she really has been a tremendous blessing to us, and I love her and I appreciate her. She's just one of the kids. But I'll always, Sister Smith and I'll be indebted to her from now on, I guess. And I'll tell you this, her and Brother Jacob would have probably been one of the first families here if I would have let them, if I would have said, well, burn the kennel and come on. But because she was the first that was in on the know about it. I told her before I told anybody, because I knew that she'd overhear Sister Smith and I talking, and it was probably a mistake because she's been on a roller coaster ride ever since. But anyway, she's made it. She's still on the ride, but she's still in the buggy. Anyway, we're sure glad they're here today. Praise God. Let's see. I don't know. I don't think we have any more company. We've got a lot of folks gone, brother. Yeah, Sister Rochella's daughter. She's not really company. I was looking at her during song service, and I thought, how could we rope her and keep her closer to us? You know, how could we get her here on a regular basis? You know, years ago, I used to hold Bible studies with families. I'd go in their home and spend time with them. I did that with the Ratliff family. That's how we got them in. They came, but we hooked them in by the Word of God got a hold of them. God got a hook in their jaw. I may have to find out where you live. All right. Brother Tally, open the service and take us to prayer. Yes, Brother Leon Fields, yes. From Haiti. We greeted him downstairs, but I don't know, where did you come from, brother? Where did you come in here from this morning? Where was you at last night? In Tyler. I knew that, but I just didn't remember it. Anyway, he's been in this body many years and worked with Brother Leniger for a long time, many years. And so we appreciate having him. It's a blessing to have him with us here today. He's got several churches in Haiti, and he's been working in America quite a bit, too. So he's making his rounds. So we're blessed that he'd consider us today. Amen. Praise God. All right.
It's good to be in church today, isn't it? I'm thankful that we have a place that we can come and gather and gird up our minds. Of course, we should have our mind girded up before we get here, but it helps to have a good spirit to help us and give us encouragement. I'm encouraged to be among God's people, be counted among the blessed of the Lord, and I like to count my blessings. I appreciate the good words this morning. Giving us some overview of what's going on in the body of Christ, and we like to be updated always as what's going on, and stay abreast of what's happening with God's people. You know, if you live in this world long enough, something's going to happen to you, and some of it is good, and some of it is not so good. But you know, we have to take the bitter with the sweet, and sometimes it's hard to take, but we have to take it, and the good thing about all this is that we're just not doing this all by ourselves. You know, we're doing this with God's help. And if you can feel God's strength while you're going through things, it's such an assurance that really give you strength and encouragement along the way. I was thinking about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I think, about you know God won't put any more on you than you can bear, and with that he make a way of escape and all that. And this man was reading this other translation, and it was saying something like, what you're going through is no different than what everybody else is going through, you know. So you don't want to feel like you're the Lone Ranger, you know, when you're going through something, because somebody else has already gone through what you're going through, and you just rest assured God knows all about it. And so you don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You just begin to trust the Lord. Begin to lean on the Lord, and that's what we do, and he give you help in those things. And there was another scripture I was going to read it. It's in Psalms 116, I believe, if I can find it. Psalm 116, and it's one of these Brother Daniel's scriptures. He like to read these scriptures here, if I can find it. 116 and 12. What? Yeah, 116. Thank you. I'm there. I just missed a digit there. But anyway, this is what it says is that, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And I was considering that, and I thought, why cup? Why cup of salvation? And I was thinking about that, you know. And God's, his word, his spirit, the Bible said that we're to eat his word. We're to drink his spirit. And another scripture said that we're to taste of the Lord and see that he is good. And I was thinking, well, evidently then we are to be consumers of the things of God. We're to be consumers of God's word and of his spirit. And I was thinking, you know, we live in a world of consumption. They say this country consumes more than a lot of countries put together, naturally. But we're supposed to be spiritual consumers. We are definitely natural consumers, but we're to be spiritual. And we're to consume the things of God. And I was thinking, why did he use that word cup? Because, you know, there's so many places in the Bible talks about, you know, what other way are you going to be able to get God's word, his spirit, his thoughts? Because he said his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you know, his ways, and we're to learn of his ways. So it looked like you're going to have to consume these things. You know, you just can't, you know, it's like, you know, some things is like pouring water on a duck's back, you know, just roll off. You know, they don't do you any good. But I think if we could begin to consume the things of God in our hearts, in our life, and be able to let it become a part of us. You know, we make this statement that we are what we eat, you know, naturally. And I think it also applies spiritually. We are what we eat. You know, if we begin to take on the things of God and begin to let it become a part of our life, and we can become, you know, we ought to become, you know, children of God. Brother Brett used to be on usher duty, and he'd write these notes in, you know, like head count, and would say potential saints. Well, potential, I think that's how he put it. He wouldn't just say saints of God, but he would say potential. Because we're trying, we're working on it. We're not just trying, but we're becoming saints of God. We're becoming children of God. How are we doing that? Because we're taking in the things of God in our life. And we're letting these things, and like I say, we're not immune from trouble while we're doing this. We're having trouble along the way. But that don't stop us. That shouldn't stop us from consuming the things of God. Or letting these things become part of our life. And it seems to me like sometimes when troubles come, it seems like you get a little more serious about it. And that's what I tell you what happened to me. I feel like... I have gotten a little more serious. I've had a wake-up call in my life, and I want to think about the goodness of God and let it do something for me, and not just for me, but for others. You know, if you could pick things that, like I said once before, your trouble. You know, the Bible said we're born a woman, and have a few days full of trouble, and you have nothing, no say so about the trouble that's coming your way, but they're gonna come. And but we can lean on the Lord. We can have some say so about how we respond to trouble and to God. When He allows things to happen to us, we can have some say so about how we respond and how we take these things, our attitude and our spirit. So I'm leaning on the Lord. I don't have the answers for everything. I really don't. But I do know if I continue to walk with God, if I continue to go with Him, I can continue to hold His hand. That's my confidence, and that's what gives me strength. Is knowing, I don't always know. I don't always feel God in everything I do, but when I do feel Him, and when I do feel that God is helping me, always such encouragement. I know that God can work everything out. My wife always said, all things, not just something, but all things work for the good. All things. And I get reminded of that because I believe that today more than ever, that all things work for the good. For them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So it's good to be in church, and it's good to feel the Spirit of God. And while we're here gathered together, you know, in His house, we don't want to come to God's house and not feel Him, His presence here with us. I appreciate His presence, the presence of the Lord when we began together. Like I said before, this is the day that God has given. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, tomorrow is not guaranteed for us or to us, but we have this day. So let's lift the name of the Lord up. Let's praise Him today while we live and while we have our being. So we're going to pray that God will touch the needs here today and touch His people. I'm sure everybody, you know, got problems and got some kind. Maybe some may not have any, but there are other people that have them. So if you don't have any, just listen to other people and share. Reach out. Let your heart reach out to someone else that have some problems. I don't want to tell you all of my I know you know one problem I got, but I got other ones. But I don't even want to tell you about them. You know, but if you're in a big family like mine, you're going to have problems. You know, people in the hospital, people sick. And I mean, but anyway, we want to pray for one another. And I don't see Brother Daniel, so he probably need prayer. I don't know. I haven't heard from him, but remember Brother him. And Sister Ratliff, like I said, it's good to see her being in church. Good to have your family. Yes, remember her family. Pray for them. God has helped them. All right.
Let's pray for Sister Gail right now.
Ratliff.
She's trying to make a decision about maybe coming down here. And then Brother Doug and Yvonne York they're closing on their house this coming week. I think Friday, but they're getting out. And they're trying to put everything they own in storage up there because they don't have a place to bring it down here. Yet, and they say storage down here is a lot higher than it is up there, so the brethren are trying to help. Brother Mark is coming back, but he's holding back to help Brother Doug move some stuff this afternoon. And
okay.
But he and Sister Vaughn will be coming this week, so keep that in your prayers.
All right.
Michael and Cindy family are in Dallas, Fort Worth today. They had a wedding, their niece.
Okay,
Who else is not here? I'm trying to think. Somebody. Oh, Sister Fisher. Linda Fisher. She was trying to make it this morning, but she just didn't feel like she could, but she'll try to be here tonight. Keep praying for it. Sister Jackie Tucker couldn't make it this morning.
Or anybody else? Any other requests? Just Ann. Yes. All right. Remember, pause. All right. Brother Gene Montgomery. Okay. All right. Remember, Sister Montgomery. Pray for her. Brother Ray. All right, Brother Ray, Sister Susan. Pray for them. See Brother Paul Fuller. Good to see you, brother. See you out here today. Sister Abraham. All right. Remember, Brother Jonathan and Janine. All right. All right, Sister Jordan. Your children, yes. Your grandson, Joshua. All right, remember those knees today. And I know Sister Sheila always requests prayer for Sister Annabella Rosa. I don't know if she talked to her this week or not. All right, remember her. All right, any other? Let's go to Payne. Your daughter, okay, Natanya, remember her. Pray for her. All right, God is good to us. He hears us. You know, a lot of times he wants us to, sometimes I think, well, he knows that already, but, you know, he wants us to get a burden for it, I think. You know, sometimes to, I know he hears what we're saying, but sometimes I think it helps if we get that burden on our heart and want to reach out to feel for someone else's need, you know, feel like we said, we're hurt. When one hurt, we all hurt. Yeah. We'll be able to feel other people's needs, and we live in that kind of world where, you know, it seems like it's callous. I read every time that you see something where somebody get hurt and people just walk by them. I was reading something. I didn't read the whole thing, but I just saw a little line on the internet where somebody was robbed a store or something. Somebody got shot, and the customer was still just walking by like nothing happened, you know, like, man, what is this all about? But anyway, that's the kind of world we live in. You know, people become callous to one another, their feelings and their cares and all. So we're not to be that way. You know, we're to have a care for one another, concern. So if no other requests, let's stand and take all these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help his people. Lift them up. Father in heaven, we thank you this day, oh God, that we've come before you. Oh, we want to lift up your name. We want to touch the hem of your garment, Lord. Your people that have needs. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, bless thee. Lord, help thee. Help your people,
precious.
Oh, help us our heart. Oh, Jesus, bless thee. Yes, Lord. Up on each one. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Praise your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Merciful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise.
We're going to practice on y'all today. It's good to be here. Looking for answers, and you need a way out. You've been trapped in that trial, full of sorrow and doubt. You saw a trickle of sunlight, but you found no escape. Just hold on to his promises. He said that he'd make a way.
The Red Sea.
closing in. They'd soon overthrow. Made a way out again.
speak his name.
Praise the Lord. Well, here we are. Bless his wonderful name. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm just glad for all of you being here today. Got a little bit of a hum feedback here. I don't know exactly what it is causing it, but you know, I've been talking about peace quite a bit here lately, and it started off in my mind thinking of, you know, unity, what what it takes to get unity, because that the Bible tells us that's where the power of God's unleashed, is when we really get in unity. And of course we know that means in unity with God, but there's just a natural strength and natural unity. Doesn't the Bible say that what is it? How's it? That scripture that says, about the three cords that's hard to break. There's several proverbs about at least two where two are together. Three cords are not easily broken, I believe it says. And the more strands you have, we know that there's more strength added to it. It's a lot easier to get things done with a whole group of people than it is just one or two. And so, but to have unity, I was asking God about that. I said, what's it going to take for us to have the unity that you're wanting us to have, for us to be one with you? And it seemed like the Lord spoke right back to me and said, you first have to have peace. That's what got me started pursuing, you know, peace, talking about it. And then to have peace, it takes, you have to work for peace. And you'll have, Brother Talley said, you'll have trouble in this life. And it takes a certain amount of, it takes forgiveness to achieve peace. I don't care who you are, if you have a relationship with someone, you'll hit places where you generally start off in peace, but then you'll hit a place where you cross each other. There's something will happen, and peace is severed, and that just helps us to realize that there's areas that need improvement in our nature, in our lives. We had that scripture this morning. Brother McGowan brought out the scripture in the 7th chapter of Luke. I thought I might read it again because I think it goes along with what I've been working on in the 7th chapter of Luke. and I think it's around the 36th verse. It says, one of the Pharisees desired him, speaking of Jesus, and that he would eat with them, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered him. Get the picture of this. Here, this guy's just thinking in his mind, this guy ain't a prophet. If he's really a prophet, he'd know this woman's a sinner. That's what he was thinking. But Jesus was made aware of what he was. He discerned it. No doubt the Holy Ghost revealed it to him. And so he answered. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, say on, master. Say on. There were a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will he love the most? Will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he gave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto them, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So, a question in Bible study was, can we really use that to say that a person that's been lower and deeper in sin is going to love God more because they've been forgiven of more than a person that's not hadn't delved into as the same depths of sin? Because this scriptural setting has been used that way. Well, Jesus many times was trying to help the Jews to realize that they had a self-righteousness in themselves, a self-righteous spirit